1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Welcome to Feldis and Kale, a delight to have you with us. And we are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Dan on vacation for this broadcast, and our guest today on this edition of Feldis and Kale is Brent Wooker. And Brent is the Public Information Officer for New Hampshire State Parks. And Brent, we welcome you to Feldis and Kale. A delight to have you with us.
Thank you, Ken. It's great to be here again.
And always great to have you on the program. And we're talking about 93, is that correct? 93 New Hampshire State Parks?
Yeah, there's 93 parks within the system spread out throughout the state. And we say recreation within proximity next to, you know, readily available to all of our New Hampshire State residents and our guests.
And you talk about diversity. They're all different in their own way.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, the great thing, I love pointing this out all the time. You could start out in April when Cannon Mountain is still open. You can go skiing. You know, you might, if you're cold tolerant, you might be able to hit an inland beach, go hiking up to Mount Washington, and end your day on the seacoast. So, you know, there's just so much to do in the state. And it's such a small state, but there's so much to do.
So much to see, so much to do, and why not do it through the state parks system in the state? And as we say, they all have their own personality. We're still in the summer months, and we still have some warm weather ahead. So let's first of all start out on the seacoast. And a lot of people may not realize that Hampton Beach, Rye Beach, there are state parks right there.
yeah, we have 13 miles of coastline in New Hampshire, and most of it's New Hampshire State Parks.
Right,
Odeon Point. We got a couple of historic sites, Wentworth, Coolidge Mansion up near Portsmouth, and all the way down to Southampton. So, some of the most beautiful beaches on the northern seaboard.
There's no doubt about that, and Odeon. Very, very beautiful spot. And I understand, I read this somewhere, I didn't find out on my own, but over 3,000 species of plants and animals residing at Odeon State Park.
Yeah, and we have a great partnership up there with the Seacoast Science Center. They just do a tremendous job. So many things to do. We've did a lot of work up there on the trails. Just a great place to go paddling, kayaking. We have a boat launch up there. It's just a beautiful park.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's breathtaking, and no doubt about that. And you go to the Hampton Beach State Park, and it's just amazing. So still summer and time to get out. I know the water is always cold there. The water is the views are always breathtaking, and the water is always cold, no matter what temperature it may be, no matter what month of the year it is. The water in that area is always cold.
Yeah, and I'm an inland beach kind of guy. Yeah. I live up near Wellington State Park, and the water's 78 degrees up there, so I kind of like the bath water. But, you know, we have a great lifeguards up there, great beach patrol. We made it past the big storm, and turned out to not to be much anything. So we still have a lot of summer left going into Labor Day, and, we'll keep on going into the fall as much as we can.
Oh, absolutely, and certainly tourists come out to Hampton Beach at all times during the course of the year. And you mentioned the Seacoast Science Center, and that's kind of a jewel over there that maybe a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, and I mean, we have a great partnership with them up there. They're going through, they've added a lot to their exhibits this year. There's so much to see. I don't know what many people know this, but you go out on the beach there, and there's actually some rock formations that are actually what's left of petrified forest, ancient forest. So there's so many things to see up there. You know, they do an event that's coming up. I believe it's on September 12th. It's like a bio inventory day. I'm not using the right terminology. Uh-huh. But check out their website. But they do this every year. It's a great family event. I think last year the year before, because of COVID, we didn't have it last year, they counted 2,700 species there. So it's just a beautiful place.
Another place close to the seacoast that I'm familiar with, having gone there on family picnics when I was young and so on, is Kingston State Park. And not a huge state park, but one that is very well maintained, as I always recall, and one that certainly has a lot to do.
Yeah, we have a lot of those, especially in the southern region. Kingston State Park, Pawtuckaway is very popular. Those small lakes mm-hmm. that have those really nice family-friendly beaches. We have all kinds of boat rentals going on there. We have nice stores there. So it's a nice place to spend the day. And with the reservation system, I always tell people, especially families, you know, you go there for the day, you make a reservation, it's good for the entire day. If you want to take the kids out and get some pizza, come back.
Yep.
You come back to the park or pack it for the whole day to stay inside the park. There's hiking within those parks. So many things to do. Great family venues.
Yeah, and as you say, so many of those, particularly in the southern part of the state. And fishing, is that pretty good?
Fishing, you know, they're great ponds for kids to learn how to fish and experience fishing, take the family out. You're always going to catch anything, you know, from sunfish all the way up to bass and, you know, smallmouth bass and things like that. So it's a great experience for kids.
No doubt about it. So check them out because, you know, I think when we live in a state, and when I visited Kingston State Park, I was living in Massachusetts as a youngster, and we used to come up for family gatherings and what have you. But sometimes when you live in a state, you don't necessarily gravitate to the attractions in that state. I know I grew up about 10 miles away from Bunker Hill Monument in Charlestown, Mass., and it wasn't until I was in my 50s, that I actually visited Bunker Hill. So, I mean, people don't gravitate toward those attractions, and it's great to sometimes just vacation in your own backyard.
That's so true, and I think, you know, I keep on referencing COVID. We're getting away from COVID, you know, thank goodness. But, you know, a lot of people started to realize what is right in their backyard that they didn't even realize was there. There's so many little state parks that, you know, like Wadley State Park, Greenfield State Park, Echo Lake State Park, that people would go up to Conway. You know, Echo Lake State Park is just a beautiful place with Cathedral Ledge. So many times I've heard from people that I didn't realize this was here. I live right around the corner for the last 30 years.
Yeah, no, it's so true and typical of any state that you might grow up in or have lived in for quite some time. You sometimes don't think about what's right in your own backyard, and I think people should do more exploring in that regard. I'll tell you where I'm going to explore more of the North Country. And when I say the North Country, I mean way, way, way up north. I was looking on your website the other night, and it's a great website, by the way. Just have to Google New Hampshire State Parks, and it'll show up. But a lot of information there. You know, first of all, you say you're going to be upgrading the website in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, we're looking at next spring to roll out a new and improved website. We've done so much with reservation systems and different aspects of our website. We're looking to make it more user-friendly for personal devices and things like that. So we're really excited about that. I think we have a really good website right now. We're really active on social media.
I thought so. Yeah.
And we're just looking at tweaking it a little more and making it a little more user-friendly. And, you know, we listen to everybody's, we get a lot of comments from our visitors. So we were listening to everything they say, and we're going to take some of those points they put out to us, and we're going to weave that right into our website.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought it was very user friendly as it was. But an upgrade is always very good. But I look at this Coleman State Park in Stewartstown, New Hampshire, and I was just absolutely blown away. I have to be honest with you. I never knew about it until just a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, we call that area the Great North Woods.
Yeah.
And we have a great crew up there, but we have so many places that are hidden gems. Coleman State Park's one of them. Umbagog State Park. Mm. I just love that place. It's just, we have remote cabins and remote tent sites. They're out on islands. We have some on the shore there in Errol. And we also have Deer Mountain, which I was just talking to some folks who are heading up there this weekend. That's like literally you can see the Canadian border, but just some beautiful places up there in the Connecticut River headwaters, you know, forest and just beautiful sights to see.
And some very intriguing places to stay contained within the state park.
Yeah, there's just, I mean, you're right on lakes, on Little Diamond Pond up there at Coleman State Park. Umbagog is a big fish and wildlife refuge. I mean, if you go up there and don't see some wildlife, see some bald eagles flying around. You're just not looking up, you know?
Right. And there's, you know, the accommodations at the Coleman State Park that I was looking at are pretty elaborate. I mean, it's not just a lean-to or a little cottage or a tent. I mean, these are rather elaborate accommodations you have.
Yeah, that's a great story up there. That was, you know, it's an old camp that was, you know, it was talking about the Rockefellers going out the Adirondacks. Well, a lot of people from Boston headed up that way and had camps, you know, in the turn of the century. So what used to be a dairy farm up there is our Coleman Lodges, and it became a boys' camp later, and then we inherited it from the state in, I believe it was in the 90s. And so we have lodges you actually rent that will house like up to eight people, right on the snowmobile trail, right on the ATV trails up there, which is great, great systems up there. 7,000 miles of snowmobile trails, 1,000 miles of ATV trails, you can go to Gorham and Berlin, all those places. So, you know, check that out. Within lodge house, we have a room you can rent. It will, you know, I think it goes up to like four people, as a fold out couch and a queen bed. But we're looking to expand that lodge house and make more of those sorts, like a hotel sort of resort lodge feel to it.
But it really looks terrific. Now, I've not been there, but I intend to go. You know, right, as you said, right on the snowmobile trails. Mm-hmm. And some of these lodges up there in Stewartstown at Coleman State Park, they sleep, I see, up to eight people.
Yeah, they're equipped with everything you need. All you need to do is bring your food. You know, we have Wi-Fi in them now. You know, everything from your pots and pans to your linens and everything. We even have a washer and dryer in each one. Pretty much everything you have at home is right there.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And so you have the lodges up there. You have a few cabins, but very, very nice. So, but check that out, folks. Just go on the State Park, New Hampshire State Park website, and you can make reservations right there as well, and learn all about New Hampshire State Parks, like I pretty much did. You know, I knew some of them, but I never knew how elaborate some of the accommodations could be. Brent Wooker is with us, and Brent is the Public Information Officer for New Hampshire State Parks here on Feldes and Kale. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. You were telling me before we started the show today that there's a state park, I thought you said, that was originally a dairy farm. Is that true?
Yeah. That lodge building up in Coleman Lodges was actually the home for, it was called Diamond Farm up there.
Oh.
Had some beautiful farms. Unfortunately, the twin barns are gone now, but we do have some, you know, beautiful pictures up there when it was in its heyday. And of course, like everything up the North Country, wasn't too many trees around there back then, but, you know, it's all forested now, and tons of trails on some of the main corridors for snowmobile trails. And, you know, it's just a great place. If you're ATV or snowmobile enthusiast, you wake up in the morning, there's no trailering. You just go out your door, jump on your sled, jump on your ATV, and hit the trails.
That's all you have to do, folks, and great accommodations. Now, not all of the state parks that have accommodations are quite as luxurious as Coleman State Park. Some people like a little bit more rustic. So what would you recommend for those folks?
Yeah, we have some great other, you know, campgrounds. We have 23 campgrounds.
23, yeah.
Yeah, and we have 1,382 campsites. Mm. We're the largest holder of campsites in the state. There's lots of private campgrounds around the state. But most of ours are, you know, set up for tent camping.
Mm-hmm.
Some places like Dry River up in Crawford Notch, Moose Brook, which is up near Gorham. I love Lafayette State Park, Lafayette Campground within Franconia Notch State Park. You're right in the middle of Franconia, and it's one of the most picturesque parks. Get out of your tent in the morning, take a hike up the Lonesome Lake. There's a tunnel that takes you right under 93, and you go up, you're right at the Bridle Path, Falling Waters trailhead. So great location. Do make sure you make your reservations ahead of time. It's a very popular mm-hmm. campsite, but we have a great crew up there. It's such a well cared for campground.
And the reservations are very easy to make online.
Yeah. Just go right online. I definitely recommend, checking out our website, newhampshirestateparks.org, and, check out all the different sites. You can go to the planning, drop down to campgrounds, look at all of our campgrounds. go to visit, look at all the 93 parks, which include waysides, historic sites, rail trails, which are very popular right now for people. So there's a lot to see there, a lot to explore right inside the website.
It is really something, and I think you'll discover a lot. Even if you've been to a number of state parks in the state, as I have, but I just didn't realize that some of them had to offer, and some great opportunities for family getaways or getaways with your friends and what have you. It's just terrific, and a lot to offer, and so many, as you said, so many trails, so much opportunity for snowmobile paths through the state parks. I mean, I was blown away one time. I heard the number of miles of snowmobile trails that there are in the state, and it's just an astronomical number.
It's crazy. It's still growing. We rely a lot on our private landowners.
Yeah,
the private landowners in the state really make this happen. And 7,000 trails you can connect with. I mean, once the Canadian border opens up, I know a lot of our visitors and guests up north in Canada are really, getting excited, hoping that border opens soon for the winter.
Yeah.
But you can go to Maine, you can go to Vermont, down to Massachusetts. You can connect with all their trails. So I think we're the premier jumping point for snowmobile enthusiasts in the Northeast.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And the trail mileage is unbelievable. And so many of these snowmobile clubs are the ones that maintain the trails in their area.
Yeah, and we have within New Hampshire State Parks our Trails Bureau, which basically takes care of motorized trails. And those are the folks that do all the maintenance on most of the state land, but we rely on those clubs to take care of all. And those guys, that's when you're really committed. I mean, these guys go through this class to learn how to run the groomers, and a lot of them are running those groomers all night long. So when you wake up in the morning, get on those trails, they're perfection. They're just so smooth, and it's about a safety thing too, that you make sure they're nice and smooth, and you can take off right down those trails. Make sure you obey the speed limits, and
of course,
our COs are out there making sure everybody's safe and enjoying themselves.
But for those snowmobile clubs, the members of those clubs, it's all a labor of love. They do it for nothing.
It is, and they do a great job. Without them, there would be no trail system. So if you see them, out there on the groomers and stuff, give them a wave and say thank you, and especially to our fishing game conservation officers. They make it happen too.
Yeah, Fish and Game does so much, and you're very much involved in the state park system here in the state of New Hampshire, which is just incredible. And we'll be talking and touching more on it in different regions of the state as we proceed today. But something that caught my eye at Milan, the Milan Hill State Campground, the yurts.
Yeah, I wish we had more yurts.
There are four, right?
Yeah, there's four yurts. Yeah. And Milan Hill's the only place we have yurts right now. I'm hoping in the future we get more yurts because they're really glamping. I mean, that's my idea of glamping. Now, some people think that, RV is your
glamping,
idea.
Glamping.
But these
is that like glamour camping?
That's what it is. Yeah, these, they have a window at the top. You can look up at the stars. There's one site there at Milan, which is almost always booked, but it has a great view of the mountains, and it's just it's a great experience. So I definitely recommend checking that out.
And you can go right online and make your reservation. I almost did the other night to make my reservation for a yurt, but I had to clear the dates before I did it. But how late in the season are they open, or are they open year-round?
Well, we started last year with most things close around Labor Day, and it also depends on our staffing, how long we keep staff on. A lot of our staff are seasonal, high school, college students. They're going to start going back pretty soon.
Yeah.
But, last year we went to almost Columbus Day at some of our campgrounds. Milan Hill is a little farther north, but we'll be putting out those dates pretty soon. But we want to stay open as long as we can because people love going fall camping and checking out the leaves. Those leaf peepers are just
That's it. Yeah,
more each year.
No doubt about that. And that's what brings a lot of people to the state of New Hampshire is the foliage, and certainly brings them to our state parks as well. Brent Wooker is with us, and Brent is the Public Information Officer for New Hampshire State Parks. It's Feldis and Kale right here, 103.9, 1450 WKXL and nhtalkradio.com. Back after these words. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. This is Feldis and Kale. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. A delight to have you along with us today. Dan Feldis on vacation. Brent Wooker is with us. And Brent, you told me before we're going on today, Brent, the public information officer for New Hampshire State Parks, but you're no neophyte in the radio business. You've done a little radio in the past, huh?
Yeah, I've been around. I did it for the military from 1996, and I was a Navy broadcaster working all over the world, AFN, American Forces Network, Europe and Asia, and I got my commission. I'm ready to retire as a major in the Army Reserves in a couple of months, and I was sort of laughing when you were talking about the Dairy Farmers of America, because I started out as a dairy farmer. I had about 250 head of cattle.
Myself, wow! And, wow!
And put out, made about 2,000 pounds of milk a day up in upstate New York. So dairy farmers, thank you for what you do and all the hard work you do in providing us with that nutritious milk.
You talk about a job that's 7 days a week. That's one of them, right?
No,
there.
No days off. 4:30 in the morning up, and you're lucky if you finish off at 11 o'clock at night. So,
yeah, that's true. And we thank all of our New Hampshire dairy farmers and dairy farmers everywhere, for that matter, for doing what they do. And it is a busy job. 7 days a week. There are no days off in the we say dairy farming world, but really the farming world in general. Hats off to all of them. And, Brent, thank you for your service in the military as well.
Thank you, Ken.
How did you get involved here in New Hampshire with the state parks?
Oh, well, I was actually working down as a Department of Defense civilian down in Arlington National Cemetery, Fort Myer, which supports the 3rd Infantry Division, the old guard of the Army, the premier, unit for they do the Tomb of the Unknown, all the cemeteries, all the burials, and also the Pershing's own U.S. Army band was right next door to me. So great experience. I really miss New Hampshire, though. I really need to get away from D.C. Yeah. I wanted to get back up here, so this opportunity presented itself, and I'm so glad to be up here with my family.
Well, we're very grateful to have you with us here in the state of New Hampshire. How long have you been in this job?
About 2.5 years. Yeah. I was in New Hampshire before that. My parents' family all live here. I lived up in Ossipee, and a couple of deployments going on with the Army, and so that kept me busy and away from the area, but ready to retire and settle down here in New Hampshire.
Very, very nice. And as we approach the fall, we don't want to rush the seasons, but, we are approaching fall. And, we think, and we alluded to this in the first segment today, we think about the great New Hampshire foliage. And I think that's one of our biggest tourist industries in New Hampshire is the foliage. And we rely on that for many things here. And visiting the state parks is a part of that. So what would be the best way, best advice you have for people listening to this, wherever they may be listening, a little guide to viewing the New Hampshire foliage while utilizing New Hampshire state parks?
Yeah, one thing I would suggest for out-of-state visitors, I know from personal experience, try to make a hotel booking in the fall. Yeah. It's really hard, but we have some great parks. If you have a tent or, if you're looking at our cabins or, things like that, make reservations now. We will have stuff that's available. One thing's great about, we have this reservation system. So things do come up where people cancel, on Fridays and stuff like that. We also have a link on our website called Find a Camping Site This Weekend. So you press that link and it'll tell you exactly what camping sites are available for that weekend. You don't have to go through every park. It'll give you that. It'll narrow down your choice. So instead of looking to see if things are booked, just press. I think it's a great button.
Yeah.
You just press that button and you can find a camping site, close to home. Everything starts at the North Country. It's only going to be another 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
Tree colors are going to start to change up in the Great North Woods. So you can start that and follow the tree line. Follow the colors all the way down to the Mass border. We have a park all along the way you could stay at. So great opportunities to enjoy the colors for the next month and a half, really.
From Pittsburgh all the way south to Salem, Nashua, what have you. And,
yeah, exactly.
And certainly lots of great foliage on the way. You know, it's been a very rainy summer. Does that usually make for good foliage?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. You know, we've had the drought, you know, the last couple of years, so I think our water levels are right up there. So, you know, the trees will look pretty healthy this year. You know, we've had a lot of rain, but we've had a great year overall for parks. Visitation's up, so we're just glad to welcome everybody back.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, the Great North Woods and, you know, up near the Canadian border in Pittsburgh. What about Pittsburgh? I know there was at least one state park in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yeah, well, the closest one up there is Coleman, and then you just north of of Pittsburgh, and you get into the Connecticut River headwaters park and forest.
Yeah.
And we have Lake Francis up there.
Right.
That's another beautiful camp.
Oh,
I didn't
even
mention that one, but Lake Francis, you're right on the lake there. You can put your canoes right on the shore. Just beautiful area up there. But there's lots of trails all through there. Just watch out. You know, it is a working forest. So, you know, it's one of the great things about New Hampshire is, you know, we really protect our forest, but they're working forests. So just be aware there's a lot of logging operations going on in certain areas, but still lots of area to explore. Route 3 up there is just beautiful along the headwater lakes and stuff like that. Definitely a great place to take a ride.
And a great place to maybe see a moose as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you're really, you know, everybody always asks me, where can I see a moose? And I think I've probably seen two moose in my whole lifetime
here
in New Hampshire. But, you know, you go up to Jericho State Park up in Berlin, that's the best place to see a moose. But anywhere along Route 3 and up in that Connecticut headwaters, you know, working for us, you'll probably see a moose. Just keep your eye out. You know, lots of wildlife. Definitely, you'll probably see some bear and bald eagles.
But you know, it's a goal of many people to head north and see a moose. So
yeah,
Jericho State Park in Berlin, huh?
That's
the best shot you might have.
Huh? I love to go up there snowmobiling because you'll see them all on the Y. The moose like to walk along the trail there.
Wow!
And you see tracks all on the snowmobile trail right outside the park there. So. Great place to go for off-roading and four-wheeling. They also have, I didn't mention this, but they actually have a four-wheel trail up there for Jeeps and four-wheel trucks and stuff like that and ATVs and things like that. It's actually recognized by Jeep as one of their, in their system, I can't remember what they call it, but it's like you get a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that trail, you know, Jeep will send you a badge of honor. So we're responsive with them. Oh. We have a great 4x4 club up there.
Oh, great. That is good to know. Unfortunately, the moose population in the state in general is not what it used to be.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's controlled by fishing game.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still a lot of wild places out there to see moose. So.
Yeah, and maybe a bear here and there, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you might not want to see a bear. But moose seem relatively friendly.
Yeah. They just sort of just keep on, you know, eating and watch. Keep an eye on you, and they just don't seem like they get too upset. But, you know, and, you know, like anything, you know, stay away from the wildlife.
Right,
and
right.
I always tell people, if you see a baby bear, you know, watch out. Mama's someplace right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, no doubt about that. Brent Walker is with us today on Feldes and Kale, Public Information Officer. For New Hampshire State Parks, we have a lot more to discuss here on the program at 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldes and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldes and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. Our guest on this edition of the show is Brent Walker, and Brent, the Public Information Officer for New Hampshire State Parks. So what is ahead for New Hampshire State Parks? We were talking off the air prior to the broadcast today about some improvements that may be coming up in the near future.
We're always improving bathrooms. You know, we get excited about bathhouses and
state
parks.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we get a lot of people tell us. They're like, hey, you know, we we want to see some improvement to bathhouses. So we're always listening. We've been doing that constantly throughout the years and places for, Monadnock, we have a great bath in there, the warming area for the hikers, because that gets hiked year-round.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the American Relief Plan. The funds from that are coming up, and we have some great projects going on, improvements to parks over the next 2 years. So we're really excited about that, and I think our guests are really going to be excited about that. So, little things, improving some of our trails. We have some great trail stewards and trail clubs that are working on constantly improving our trails. So, a lot of great things going on in parks. Like I said, the website, we're improving the website. Mm-hmm. We're constantly, we have a great intern this year that's been doing blogs and just going out and traveling all over the state. Sophia is her name. If you see her out there, she's, check out our blog site. She wrote one on kids and hiking a couple weeks ago, and I just loved it because we had so much great interaction with our visitors because they're talking about ways you can prepare to take your kids hiking. I read a story the other day about some family did the Appalachian Mountain Trail with the whole trail with their 5-year-old. So more people are taking their kids out there. We always tell people, just be safe, be prepared when you go out there, plan ahead, bring water, bring the right shoes, plan for staying overnight on the trail. I think that's something our conservation officers always tell people. You always hear about the rescues in the news and stuff, but start small. I mean, we have a lot of people do the 4,000 footers and they'll walk the ridge of the Franconian Notch, but we have rail trails. We got Franconian Notch has that great trail. It's mostly paved from starts at the aerial tram, goes all the way up to the Flume Gorge. You can bring your bikes there. We've got bike rentals over at the aerial tram. So there's a little bit for everyone in state parks.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. So great job, Sophia. Bringing that to life for a lot of people, which is a great thing, and so much to see and do. You mentioned, and it is very important to everyone, the restroom facilities. Do most of the parks have some kind of restroom accommodations?
Yeah, most of our inland beaches and some have showers and things like that. Seacoast, you've been to the Seacoast. Seacoast has seen a great transformation in the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Seashell Complex.
Yep.
Last bathroom we put in was Genesee Beach. We actually have a place to put their surfboards. No surfing on the beach there because it is a family beach, but we know there are surfers go through there.
Yeah.
But we got an outdoor shower, family bathrooms. We're looking at ways to make them more efficient and also, user friendly to those families. Kingston State Park, you have family memories of that. And that's why people keep on coming back to parks. We have our rustic sites, and we get people get in touch with nature, and it's a place where they get their kids to put down the cell phones and bond with their kids. And I always tell our employees have a really good grasp of this. They're making memories.
Yeah,
that's what we do in state parks.
Exactly. I was very young when I went to Kingston, and still remember it very, very fondly. I've been back once or twice since, but it is a great state park, as are all of the New Hampshire state parks, and also diverse. And as you mentioned, a great place to learn how to fish, learn how to boat a little bit. The snowmobile trails are great. Talk about probably the most famous state park you have is Cannon Mountain.
Yeah, Cannon Mountain's just it's a state gem. I mean, it's the only state-operated ski resort area in the state. We have so many great ski areas. We lease Sunapee Mountains owned by the state. And a lot of people know that. We have Sunapee State Park. We have a mountain there, and we lease that out to Vail Resorts International. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to go skiing. But Cannon Mountain, we have so many programs for residents, for seniors. It's just such a beautiful place to go. And, one of the things I always tell seniors, we have so many great places for seniors to go. Seniors can go ride on the tram for free during weekdays. So,
how old do you have to be?
65 or older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I always tell seniors, I'm like, hey, head up there, take a nice ride up on the tram. You go up to our cafe at the top of the mountain, get a slice of pizza or coffee. We made a little money off you, but you enjoyed the ride up there. It's a great, great thing.
See, seniors, good to know. I'm happy to get that information myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you never know what you're going to learn on these shows. But Cannon Mountain, is that they open almost year round now?
Yeah, well, the great thing, our crew up at Cannon Mountain, You know, we have some guys that are running the lifts and all the concessions and all the ski rentals and stuff like that. Those are the same guys that are running Franconia Notch, the Flume Gorge, all the attractions there, Echo Lake Beach. So, yeah, we're open year-round because Franconia Notch is – Cannon's part of Franconia Notch State Park.
Yeah.
So it's a great setup up there. We have a great crew up there. So, you know, they love skiing and they love – you know, outdoors and in our Franconia Notch attractions also.
So the tram, is that open year round?
Yeah, the tram's open year round. Yeah. You know, we get mostly people just want to go up the mountain, see the great views of the Presidential Range, and you can see into Vermont from there. You can look right down. You go on the Rim Trail right outside the stop at the top, and you can look right down the notch. So, yeah, it's a great place to go and so many things to see up there. Definitely, if you have never been, take a ride up on the tram. It's just a beautiful thing. It's been there since 1938.
38.
So,
Wow. Unbelievable. All the opportunities you have. And you mentioned seniors. How about the accessibility for the state parks in New Hampshire?
Yeah, by our nature, we're outdoors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of our hiking trails are very challenging.
Yeah.
But we have places, you know, I love going up to Cathedral Ledge because we have a nice parking area at the top there. Mm-hmm. And they actually made a nice way to get out onto the ledge. And you see a lot of people with disabilities, mm-hmm. you know, walking disabilities or walking difficulties. They love it because they can park up there and walk out there. Franconia Notch is actually, you know, the Flume Gorge, unfortunately, really you can't get up there if you're, you know, if you have a disability or have any accessibility issues. But there is, you know, there is a beautiful paved trail. You go out the Old Man Mountain Profile Park. Mm-hmm. We actually put in, about a year and a half ago, we put out an accessible fishing pier, which is a great place to get out on the lake there. Even if you're not a fisherman, you go out there and watch the fishermen out there. They're out there in their little, their fishermen kayaks and their waders. And they're, you know, it's a great place they like to go there for the trout. So, you know, there's some places we do have. We do recommend if you're going to a park, give us a call and find out what those accessibility features are for that park. On the seacoast, we put in a great beach map. Newest thing, we used to have a boardwalk that went out there. Now it's a map that folds out. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many people using it. And it's a great thing to see that. We also have beach chairs for the beach. You know, check that out at our lifeguard stations out at Franconia Notch. And a lot of our inland beaches have beach wheelchairs there, too, you can use.
You know, Brent, you have a great enthusiasm for this. It's infectious. It really is. You make me want to visit all of the state parks.
I think you could say that about everybody that works for state parks. I mean, we have some great staff. I think that's what I like about it. It's such a positive attitude from our director all the way down to our seasonal workers. I think college students and our high school kids that come to work for us, you know, that's what we talk about, making memories.
Yeah.
I mean, they come back. And, you know, as adults with their families, we have people that started out as some seasonal hires are now park managers.
Wow.
So that's just a great thing.
That is something. Work your way up, right? Brent Wooker is our guest, and we unfortunately just have a little while left here on Feldis and Kale for this edition anyway at 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire Dairy Farmers. 103.9, 1450, WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Feldis and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire Dairy Farmers. Brent Wooker is with us, and Brent is the Public Information Officer for New Hampshire State Parks. And I understand that now you might be able to visit a state park and get vaccinated.
Yeah. We started out this great partnership a couple weeks ago with the New Hampshire Department of Health and Human Services. And Convenient MD, they bring a van out to a number of parks. We post those vaccination clinics on our Facebook and Twitter pages. So Google that and you'll find those. You know, it's a great place. I went out to Bear Brook a couple weeks ago when we did one of these. And I think we had like 8 people are vaccinated. And, you know, somebody asked me what success looked like. I said, we get 1 person vaccinated.
Yeah.
And what a great way to get vaccinated.
Oh, really?
See the parks.
Yeah.
And when you're done getting your vaccination, we give you a pass for a day use park for a day, you know, any one of our day use parks to go visit. So a free visit at state parks. And I think also the great thing about this, Convenient MD folks and DHHS have been great because a lot of people just have questions when they go out there. So it's, you know, getting the word out and just talking to people, I think that's worth it too.
Yeah, great public awareness and a great public service to get out and get those, you know, those who have not been vaccinated as yet, vaccinated at New Hampshire State Parks. Do you have any coming up in the future?
Yeah, we have. I think we had 16 originally, and now we're looking at expanding that to more, I heard the other day. We just did Lake Sunapee, I believe, last weekend. So there's pretty much one every weekend, one during the week. You know, definitely go on, you know, either New Hampshire DHHS website. They have the full schedule listed there. Those are the folks that are running it. They've done a great job and really have put the work, done a terrific job of putting the word out. You see it all over the papers and on MUR and on the radio station. So, you know, check out their website, get the full schedule. We'll definitely be putting out those schedules as they come up during the week on our social media pages too.
Well, you mentioned you're from the Ossipee area in New Hampshire. I know it's kind of putting you on the spot here, Brent, but do you have a favorite state park?
Oh, you know, I think a lot of people up there, and there's a lot of people that aren't even from that area, love White Lake. Mm-hmm. White Lake State Park is just a great family park. It's right in the tall pines. You're close to Conway and all the things that are going on at Conway, from the shops and the attractions and the rail, scenic railway. And stuff like that. But and it's also, I think it's a great family park is because it has such a beautiful beach and the water levels. I mean, you can go out 70 feet and you're only in a foot of water, but people love to take their kids. I have three daughters. They all grew up at White Lake State Park and going swimming out there. So, you know, we love it. So many things. I used to work for the Remick Country Doctor Farm Museum up there, actually.
Oh, really?
Right around the corner. So stop by the farm, walk around there. Some great trails there. I know it's not state parks, but I put a pitch in there for Remick.
Why not?
Remick Museum. But White Lake's a great place to go. Say hello to our staff up there. We got great staff up there, too.
Now that is terrific. And then when you talk about the fact that there's a lot of shallow area, a lot of shallow water, that reminds me of Kingston. You can do pretty much the same thing there.
Yeah, a lot of our inland beaches are like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, very safe places to take your kids, you know. Hey, we're looking for lifeguards, too. Everybody's looking for lifeguards.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, you know, job opportunities. Are there any place you can go to find job opportunities?
The season's almost over with, but, you know, anybody's looking for a great, rewarding job and great experience. I mean, you get so great training being a lifeguard, you know.
Sure.
Get the CPR, all that stuff. Give us a call. Talk to our parks managers. See what's available for next year. Get your training. See how, you know, we can help you with that. And we'd love to see you next year as lifeguard at State Park.
Yeah, why not? Plan ahead. But I think there's actually a portion of your website dedicated to job openings. So that's a good thing, too.
Yeah. We have, you know, we go from, you know, I think we're around 60 full-time employees throughout the year. We go way up to 1,100 once the season starts. So great opportunities there. You know, we get a lot of folks that, you know, go to school for recreational, you know, outdoors majors, and they find a place, they work during the summer, and then find a place, a permanent home in New Hampshire State Park, like I talked about earlier.
So, right, you can make a career of it.
So many great things out there. We, you know, even if you don't make a career of it, we'd love to see you come join our team and, you know, and bring your family back years to come afterwards.
And you can find a lot of postings from New Hampshire State Park on Twitter as well.
Yeah, right on. We always post those on Twitter and Facebook and I believe Instagram. But we have our, you know, our job posting right on our website and also our state agency. So you can find it on the state agency and their job postings. So
So in about the minute we have left, we are approaching fall. And again, lots of great opportunities for foliage viewing in the state of New Hampshire, maybe the best state in the country to view foliage. But I would guess you would recommend to get those reservations ASAP if you want to stay at any of these state park locations.
Yeah, the reservations are great because it's peace of mind, especially if you're coming from very far. You know, I always say is we're not in the business of turning people away. We want you in our parks. But when a park reaches capacity, that's unfortunately what happens on a busy Saturday. So that guarantees you a spot. We do have lots of walk-ins this year. You know, we got our park plates owners, great program where you get a plate through your local town or DMV. And you can get into all those day use parks. and also, you know, season pass holders, gift cards. People give out gift cards, so we want to be able to people to use those. But yeah, I think reservation system's here to stay, and a lot of people really like it.
Brent Wooker, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, anytime,
we really appreciate it.
It's been great. I really enjoy talking about parks.
And thanks for joining us on Feldes and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire Dairy Farmers.